How many siblings do you have? Yeah, have you and your siblings ever had any rivalries between yourselves? You know, the old sibling rivalry. If you did, what was it that you most often fought about as you were growing up? Listen, grab your Bible. Come on back in just a minute. We're going to take a look at two twin brothers, Esau and Jacob, out of Genesis chapter 25. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey, good evening, folks, and welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. We're going to be looking at some passages out of there today concerning two twin brothers, Esau and Jacob. Now, when we started off our broadcast this evening, I asked you if how many siblings you had, and if you ever had any sibling rivalry between yourselves, and what were the things that you most often argued or fought over. You know, a lot of times there's competition there, and so often what you can do is you can see different personalities. I mean, you get same parents, you know, brothers and sisters, but yet they're completely different. That's one of the things that I've always enjoyed watching with families that have children, just to see how different those children are. Now, we're going to look at Jacob and Esau here in just a moment. So let's go ahead and look at our scripture text today. It's Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to begin reading at verse 19. Genesis chapter 25, beginning with verse 19. It says, "This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Now, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, and Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian." Now, verse 21, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. Verse 23, "And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" Verse 24, "So when her days were fulfilled, for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Now, Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Verse 29, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with the same red stew, for I am very weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Let's pray together. Father, as we come into your presence this evening, we just ask and pray that you would, Lord, help us to pay careful attention to you today. Lord, I pray that you will teach us from your word, that in all that we say and all that we do, we might truly magnify you. But Lord, we ask that you would draw us close to you during this time. Now, Father, I know that as we come to you in this particular method, that there are a lot of distractions that can happen and take place around us. We pray that you will help those to be a minimum. And Lord, may we truly be able to concentrate upon the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless me this evening as you use me as your vessel to disseminate your word to your people. Lord, may each and every one of us be blessed because we have gathered around your word today. So bless our time, Father, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, a lot of us have probably heard this particular story about how Esau sold his birthright to his brother Jacob. But there's a lot of things that are taking place in this particular passage. Hopefully, we'll have a better understanding of what all was going on by the time we finish this evening. Now, in our story, we're told of the rivalry between Isaac's two sons, Jacob and Esau. Now, remember what I asked you as we started our broadcast about whether or not you had any kind of sibling rivalry. And some of you can sit back and say, oh yeah, we did. We went at it. And for whatever reasons and because of whatever your personality may have been, there were times that you just flat out clashed. So what we find out here is this is the story about Isaac's two sons, Jacob and Esau. Now, Isaac's wife, Rebekah, was barren. I mean, she wasn't able to have children for a very long time. And there was something that was very important that took place in that day. What had taken place was, they went to the Lord in prayer over this particular situation. And so we see what was going on and what was taking place. That they were just, together with the Lord in this. And what a great thing to do when there's circumstances and situations of your heart, when there's trouble along the way, the best place that you can go is straight into the presence of the Father. So, what did God do in response to their request? Well, he said, I'm going to bless you, with a child. Now, it's interesting that, they were probably thinking, you got to remember, this was in the days where they didn't have ultrasounds and they didn't have all the medical advances that they do. And we know that from this passage that what happened was Rebekah had twins. They didn't know that this was going to happen, right out of the gate. They just knew that essentially they were going to be blessed with children. Now, there were some things that were told to them that would obviously give a hint. So, I like how the scripture tells us the hint was that there would be the two nations that would come from her. Now, a logical person would sit back and say, oh, well, that means I'm going to have more than one child. The logical progression would say I'm going to have one child and then later on another. Not that she would have twins, not that they would both be born at the same time. Now, one of the things that I've said is it's so important for husbands and wives to pray for one another. This was something that we see evidence of in our particular scripture today, that Rebekah's husband prayed for him. Isaac went and prayed for Rebekah. She was barren, asked God to bless them. And like I said, this was something that was extremely important back in those days that women actually felt like they were just useless if they were barren. A lot of people looked at them and would say, well, you're barren. There must be some sort of sin in your life. And you must have been just a terrible, bad person. So there was also the public reputation of that. But nonetheless, Isaac goes to the Lord on behalf of Rebekah and prays, and God is going to do something. He responds to their request and says, I'm going to give you a child. Basically, it was going to be, I'm going to give you children. There will be two nations that are going to be born, from you. Now, during the pregnancy, Rebekah is troubled about her condition. When I say that, her condition of the pregnancy, and so she went to the Lord. Now notice, let me carry you back over to our passages, particularly down in verse 22. In verse 22, it says, but the children struggled together within her. Now, picture what this must have been like. I mean, some of you ladies that have children that may be tuned into our broadcast this evening, you understand what it's like when there's one child as they get restless, as they roll, as they push, as they kick. You can imagine two brothers in the womb together that are, and I'm going to use the term the Bible does, struggling together within her. So in other words, they were fighting even before they came out. They were doing a little push and shove in the womb. So this concerned Rebekah. Now, notice verse 22 again. It says, but the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, that would be the first concern of any mom. Is everything okay, with my babies? If all is well, why am I like this? So she went and she inquired of the Lord. And that is where in verse 23, the Lord tells her that there are two nations in your womb, two people shall be separated from your womb. You know, one people shall be stronger than the other. And then here's a key thing at the end of verse 23. It says, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, history will tell us that's not the way that it worked. Even throughout the days of the New Testament, there were legalities that were involved, particularly when it came down to things like inheritance and so forth. And it was always the firstborn son. He would be the one who should be the leader. He would be the one who, if there was an inheritance, actually got a greater inheritance than the younger. Now, it's ironic that at this point, before these boys are even born, the latter part of verse 23 says, and the older shall serve the younger. Okay. Now, because we know the story, we can see how that fits in. But could you imagine with her, Rebecca, not exactly knowing what's going on, thinking this is really breaking tradition? I mean, this is really outside of anything that that we know that's normal. So, you know, the Lord revealed to her what was going to be taking place and what was going on there in that verse 23. So it's important for us to pray when we are troubled and when we need guidance. You know, when we look at this particular passage, the one thing that we see is God gave her the answer. God is ready and willing to give us the answers as well. We just got to be listening. We've got to be walking with Him. We've got to be talking with Him. And we have to be prepared to listen to what the answers are that the Lord is going to give us. It is extremely and incredibly important that in times of trouble that we seek the Father. Now, after Rebecca gave birth to the twins, there were some, the word tells us in verses 24 and 25, the physical traits about Esau, both Esau and Jacob. Look with me at verses 24 and 25. It says, so when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. All of a sudden, yeah, you can imagine what this is like. It's like, it says the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. I can imagine there have been times in my life that, you know, when we look, we see somebody and it's like a newborn baby. And they're like, boy, look at that head of hair that youngin's got already. Well, you got to think Esau, it says he was like a hairy garment all over, you know, not just on his head. You know, he had hair all over his body. And then verse 26, it says, and afterwards, this also gives us the order, Esau was the firstborn. Verse 26, afterward, his brother came out and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Now, I want to give us a few insights in regard to these two brothers that we learn about in the scripture. Now, the fulfillment of God's covenant promise demanded that Isaac and Rebekah have a son. Yet the first 20 years of their married life, she was barren. We read that in verses 20 as well as verse 26. Now, what a delight it is to see how this spiritually minded husband and wife took their burdens to the Lord. They cast their cares upon Him. Now surely they in their prayers they reminded God of His promises, and surely He was pleased with their prayers. You know, as they went to Him, they said, "Listen, remember, this is what You told us." And I'm sure that God is sitting there going, "Well, I know You were listening. I'm grateful that You're hearing." Now the struggle of the unborn children was quite confusing to Rebecca. So she went, she asked God for wisdom, and God told her that two nations were to be born, and that contrary to what the customs of the day were that we talked about just a moment ago, the older son would serve the younger son. All right. Now, this is clear evidence of God's sovereignty. I want us to pause right there for just a moment, because, you know, how do we define sovereignty? We define sovereignty as that God can do whatever He wants to whomever He wants, anytime that He wants to, and be justified in doing so. So here's clear evidence of God's sovereignty in this case and in this situation. His choice was not based on the deeds of these boys. You know, they were unborn. You know, we learned all this before they were ever born. They hadn't done either good or bad. You know, sometimes you see throughout times where somebody was an evil, particularly when it gets into the kings. Well, this king was evil, and therefore a blessing was removed. These boys hadn't even been born yet. Jacob and Esau were still in their mother's womb. So you couldn't sit back and say that they had done good or evil. So they weren't chosen based on their deeds or on their merit. You know, as far as character is concerned, Esau was the more acceptable of the two, yet Jacob was the one that was chosen by God. Folks, God is still in the business of choosing people that we don't think that he's going to choose to accomplish great things that only he can accomplish. Okay. Now, the twin boys were complete opposites of each other in appearance as well as temperament. Now, some of you know people like that. You might be that way with your siblings, or there have been times when you've sat back and said, man, I love your kids to death, but they are two completely different people, both in appearance as well as in temperament. There are times that you can look at somebody and say, those two brothers don't even look like they came from the same family, and they certainly don't act like they came from the same family. This was true with Esau and Jacob. You know, the first boy was hairy and was named Esau. And by the way, Esau means hairy. So that's pretty self-explanatory. Remember, a week or so ago, we talked about the importance and the specific of names in the days of the Bible, and that they generally stood for something. So yeah, Esau means hairy. Now, he was the firstborn. By the way, that's also connected in the scripture a little further down in verse 30 with the red stew that was given to him by his brother that had prepared it. So, you know, that also means red as well as Esau. Edom means red as well. That's what it's talking about in verse 30. Edom means red. You can see how all that is evolving around Esau and is poignant towards his name. Now, Jacob, you know, we think about Jacob. When Jacob was born, it says that he laid hold of Esau's heel. And that is perceived to mean like to catch him or to trip him up. And therefore, they gave him the name Jacob. And the name Jacob means heel gripper, which also translates into schemer, deceiver. So you can see how, you know, these names were very appropriate for these boys as they were born. Now, Jacob, he was a quiet man. He was the one that you would call a homebody. He liked to kind of hang around at the house. And Esau was a man of the world. He was full of vim, vigor, vitality. He was the adventurer. He was the hunter. He was the one that wanted to be out and about. And Esau had no spiritual appreciation whatsoever. Yeah, there was nothing really that we see spiritual about him. He would rather get a meal. He would rather feed his face than enjoy the promises of God. Now, Jacob, on the other hand, he was a schemer. Jacob's scheme to get his brother's birthright showed that he doubted that God would fulfill the promise that he gave in chapter 25 that we're looking at, verse 23. Because remember, there was a promise that had been made that the older would serve the younger. Now, I've got to pause right here for just a minute just to interject something. Folks, God does not need our help to bring about his will. Yeah, when I was reading through these passages, one of the things that really reminded me of was back in how King David viewed his ascent to the throne. If you will remember, Saul at that time was the king. If you remember the incident at the cave when David was running from Saul, and Saul actually stopped and entered the cave that David and his men were in. He was going to relieve himself, and all of his men said, "Surely God has lined this up. Surely God has set this up that you could go ahead and take the life of Saul, that you might be king. Listen, God promised you you'd be king. This is your point right here. Now's your time. God has allowed this for you to be able to take his life so you could step in to being the king." And yet David knew there was some tension in his heart. There was something about it that just didn't set right. It didn't feel right. And David knew that God didn't need his help, you know, and therefore he didn't kill Saul at that particular time. You know, remember he met him, he cut that piece of his robe off, he met him outside, he said, I'm not trying to kill you. He said, I'm not trying to take your position. He didn't have to. Just a chapter or two after that, you know, God allows Saul to be killed in battle and David ascends to the throne. So folks, listen, when God is leading you in a particular way to a particular thing, he doesn't need us to try to help him to get us to that particular point. What he wants of us is he wants us to be obedient. That's what he wants more than anything, for us to be obedient and to follow him. So God had given a promise that Esau would serve Jacob. He knew that. He didn't need God to help him. Yeah, faith is this. Faith is living without scheming. Faith is living without trying to get your way by man-made methods, okay? So Esau despised his spiritual privilege as the firstborn. Remember, we said there was a lot of things that were granted to the firstborn. If you're taking notes, jot down Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17. Once again, that's Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17. And you can also put 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This speaks to some of the spiritual privileges of the firstborn. But he chose the flesh, not the spirit. You see, we never read of Esau having a tent or an altar. In chapter 26, verses 34 and 35 also gives us an indication that Esau loved worldly women. So we're starting to see, we can see what his reputation is along the way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 describes Esau as profane, which means of the world, or meaning common or something outside of the temple. And like many people today, if you look at it, there are people who are outside of the parameters of the spiritual things. They're worldly. We use that term a lot, worldly. So that person is worldly. See, a Christian ought not walk in as part of the world in worldly ways. Esau was a success in the world, but he was a failure with God. Think about that for a moment. You know what? You're going to spend a lot more time in eternity than you are here on this particular planet. So wouldn't we rather be in the good keeping and the good standing with our Father? When we think about this, the scripture also tells us too that as it's described Esau and as it described Jacob, why do you think that Isaac favored Esau? Now, when you look at the scriptures, it said that Esau was the hunter. He would go out, he would hunt, he would provide food. And it said that Isaac enjoyed of the spoils of Esau's hunts. Plus, he was the firstborn. That was something that often there was favoritism that was shown toward that firstborn son. So what you had was you had Isaac who was favoring Esau, but you had Rebekah, Isaac's wife, who was more favorable to Jacob. And why do you think that Rebekah was more in favor of Jacob? When you look at them, you think about Jacob. Jacob was the one who, I called him the homebody. He liked to be home. He liked to be around the house. He cultivated that relationship more so with his mother. She was there, and she also looked at him as different than Esau. Maybe she viewed Jacob as the one who needed a little bit more attention because they were so unlike one another. Esau was ripping and raring and ready to go. He was the hunter and gatherer. And then you had Jacob who may be looked at as the one who had none of the interest that that actually, would be pleasing to Isaac. Now, it's not that Isaac didn't love Jacob, because he did. But the problem was there was some parental favoritism that was going on in that family. And folks, you got to be very, very careful of parental favoritism. It can be detrimental to the family. You can have siblings that get upset with parents because they will see that favoritism and they're like, well, I'll tell you, he always gets this or she always gets to do that and I never get to do these things. And from that day to this, you have to be very, very careful that you don't show parental favoritism one over the other. Now, let's consider back to these days and what was going on. In these days that we're reading about, what was a birthright? Why was it important? You know, when we look at verses 29 and 30 of our text, it tells us, it says that now Jacob cooked a stew and Esau came in from the field and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. Now, when we consider the birthright, remember we talked about what was significant and what came along with being the firstborn son, the spiritual blessings that came along with that. In other words, when we talk about birthright, we're talking about that order. We're talking about what law even said about, you know, the privileges of that particular firstborn. So his birthright, in other words, he was to say he was going to be giving those things away, or he was going to be selling those. How often growing up have we referred to this particular incident we read in the Bible as the fact that that Esau sold his birthright for a pot of stew or a pot of pottage or porridge or whatever you want to call it. But he sold his birthright. He sold his rights of being the firstborn to his brother. He sold not only the spiritual rights, but also the legal rights of the firstborn to his brother. And what did it mean? You know, what did that birthright mean to Esau? According to this scripture, it didn't really mean anything. You know, for him, he was like, I don't care. Do whatever. Matter of fact, he said, I'm getting ready to die. I don't need it anyway. Might as well get my last meal by selling my birthright. Okay. Now, as we think about this, you know, when we look at it, we see that Jacob was very deceptive in the way, you know, he exploited his brother's situation. He knew that he was hungry. He knew that he was weary. He had made the stew. So he had something that his brother wanted and needed at that particular time. And he exploited that. Now, the big question is, why do you think that Jacob actually wanted Esau's birthright? Now, remember what we talked about came along with that birthright. Not only the spiritual rights, but also the earthly rights, the inheritance rights, all those other things that came along with that particular privilege. When you look at it, you could look at it and say Jacob was greedy. Jacob wanted to be, you know, number one. He wanted the stuff, and he knew, you know, he couldn't change the birth order, even though they were born at the same time. He couldn't change the fact that he was the second born. His brother Esau was the first born out of the womb. So therefore, that birthright was legally and spiritually his. Jacob knew this, but he figured a way to be able to wrangle it away from his brother. And we see evidence of what he did in this particular passage. You know, he caught him at a vulnerable time. He had something that his brother not only wanted, but I would say, according to the scriptures, needed. And he exploited that situation by playing, let's make a deal. I'll tell you what, you give me your birthright and I'll give you of this stew. Okay. Now think about it. What a foolish decision that Esau made. Yeah, by saying, oh, okay. Now, words meant a whole lot more. A person's word stood for something back in that day. And here we are thousands of years later reading about it in the Bible because that promise that Esau made when he gave his word to his brother that he would relinquish his birthright to him, we're still reading about it today. That was such a foolish decision. Why forego God's greatest blessings, you know, as his children? You know, when you look at it, remember what we said, there was some spiritual blessing and some spiritual things that went along with being that particular firstborn. And people would say, well, you know, I know he was still the firstborn. He can't, you know, go back and do that. No, he relinquished that right to his brother. You know, why do you think that the Bible tells us in verse 34 that Esau despised his birthright? Yeah, in other words, he didn't nurture it, he didn't care for it, he didn't take care of it, and therefore to him it was nothing special, and he let it go. Folks, how many of us today, as children of the King, are despising our birthright as children of the King? We're relinquishing the blessings that God has in store for us. For the temporal, the things here on earth, we're relinquishing the things that God wants to do for us and through us, and we're opting for what the world is offering us and what the world wants us to have. You know, now I've said before, as we go through our Bible studies, to look for a sin to confess, okay? So think about that for a moment. When you think about a sin to confess, why is it wrong for you to take advantage of a brother or sister for personal gain? We've all been there before. We've seen it happen. We've seen it happen in, we've taken advantage of our literal brothers and sisters, but we have also taken advantage of our spiritual brothers and sisters for personal gain. Remember, it's not about personal gain. It's about kingdom purpose. It's about kingdom's work. So yeah, maybe, is that a sin that you have in your life that you need to confess today, that you've taken advantage of a brother or sister, maybe a biological brother or sister, maybe a spiritual brother or sister? Have you done something for personal gain? You see, that's what Jacob wanted. Jacob wanted it for personal gain. It wasn't that he was trying to do something for God's honor and for God's glory. He wanted it for himself. He was greedy. That's what it was. Have we found ourselves in that particular situation? If the Holy Spirit has pointed that out to you, then I'm going to ask you right now just to pause where you are. Ask God to forgive you of that. Repent. Remember what repentance is. It means that you're turning from it. You don't ever want to do that again. And I'm just going to ask you to do that right now. Just bow your head where you are. Just ask God. Say, Lord, forgive me. I realize that I have wronged a brother or sister, whether it was biological, whether it's spiritual, and I did it all for personal gain. Lord, I'm greedy. I confess that. I need you to help me with that as we go forward. Would you do that right now? Okay. Now, think about this. You know, Why is it foolish and irresponsible for you and me to trade something of lasting value for something that is temporary? You know what? The word tells us that there's pleasure in sin for a season, but what are we giving up in the long term? It's foolish and it is irresponsible for us to trade off the blessings of God for something that is temporary and will not last and not make it out of this life into eternity. Folks, are we trading off the blessings of God for something that's worldly and far less than what God would want for us or what God would have for us? You know, what are the things in your life? What are the things in your life today that are truly valuable? I want you to think about that for a moment. You know, sometimes people come up and they say, well, if all of a sudden everything had to go, or you could only take one or two things with you, or let's say that maybe the house caught on fire and you had to grab a couple of things, what would you grab? What is truly valuable to you in this day and age? Are they material things, or are they heartfelt heavenly things? Are they things of God? Okay. By the way, let me remind you something. God is the ultimate source of all of these blessings. Every good thing, every good blessing comes from the hand of God. And in what ways are you grateful? In what ways are you respectful? And in what ways are you responsible for the things of great value in your life? Have you tended to them in a way that's pleasing to the Lord? Or have you gone through life trying to just gobble up everything you can for yourself? Has your greed overtaken the blessings of God and what God wants to do in your life? Okay, think about that particular sibling rivalry. As we bring it into our day and age, there is sibling rivalry. Sometimes maybe it's with that biological person. Even as an adult, these things stretch even into adulthood. I want to encourage you, if it is, seek the Lord's guidance and counsel and get that relationship repaired. Maybe you have wronged a spiritual brother or sister and you've done it purely out of greed. Again, seek the Lord. Ask what it is that He would have for you to do to repair that relationship, to repair, first of all, fellowship with God, but then to repair that relationship with that brother and sister that you have wronged, okay? So what we need to do today is we need to pray and we need to give thanks to God for the things that are truly valuable to us. And we need to pray that we will take great responsibility for how we treat them. Are we good stewards of all the blessings that God is giving us? Now, before we pray, I'm going to go ahead and give you your Bible readings for this week. This week, we're going to be looking at God's Word in the book of Genesis chapter 28 through Genesis chapter 33. Once again, that's Genesis chapter 28 through Genesis chapter 33. Next week, we're going to discuss Jacob wrestles with God out of Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. So here's old Jacob again. We're going to find him next week wrestling with God. Sometimes we do that as well. Okay. Now, don't forget, there is still time to contribute to our Annie Armstrong. We call it the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering for North American missions. That's what keeps our missionaries strong, vibrant, and out on the field in the United States, Canada, as well as Mexico. Be praying about, if you haven't already, what God would have for you to do toward that offering. It's not, yeah, Lord, should I do something toward this offering? It's, Lord, how much should I do toward this offering? And as I always remind you, this is a gift. This is not the tithe. This is an offering. The tithe is commanded. The offering is something over and above that. Don't take away from your tithe to give to this offering. Okay? So I trust and pray you're going to have a great week. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we close out our Bible study this evening. Father, today I come to you and I give you thanks for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, I pray that you will help each and every one of us to understand the value in the things of God. Lord, may we truly be found to be good stewards of the manifold blessings that you have given to each and every one of us. Lord, help us to truly value them in the same way that you do. And Lord, let us take great care and great responsibility for how we treat those blessings. May we truly be found to be good stewards of all the things that you have so richly blessed us with when it comes time to stand in your presence and when it comes time to answer for how we reacted, how our stewardship was toward all the blessings that you bestowed upon us. And Lord, even the ones that you wanted to bestow upon us, but you couldn't because of our disobedience. Lord, give us a new start today as we repent, as we come back to you. Lord, I'm grateful for your word that says, though our sins be as scarlet, you will wash them white as snow. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness. Thank you for a new start. May we truly be about your business as we go about our work about life, our work about day. And Lord, we lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I pray that God's going to give you a great week. May we truly be looking for the divine appointments in the with people, places, and things that God has for us this week. And may we be a blessing to someone else for the sake of the kingdom. God bless you. Have a great week. See you Sunday.